From the campus of Stanford University, this is Schools In.
They believe that what we're being told is everything they need to know, and they just pay attention to that.
You actually have to teach the teachers how to teach for innovation.
With your hosts, Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope.
Welcome to Schools In. I'm Denise Pope, senior lecturer with the Graduate School of Education here at Stanford, and I am with my co-host, the fabulous Dan Schwartz, dean of the Graduate School of Education.
You're the fabulous one, Denise.
It's a love fest today. I'm expecting to be stumped then.
Okay, so today we're going to be talking about computer science and also diversity and job opportunity in the tech workforce. So I heard an interesting study yesterday. It was from this guy's PhD, and they were asking the question, why are fewer women than men being recruited off of this job site? And the job site is for the tech industry. And you put in your information, and because it's a job site, you can't sort of post age, gender, et cetera.
Oh.
So as a recruiter, I go to this job site. I don't actually know what gender it is. But still, men are getting picked out more often than women from this job site. So what do you think was the discovery? What's the difference?
So wait, do they see the name? Like if it says Jennifer, they're going to know. They don't see the name even.
No, it sort of says where you got your degree, things like that. It even has a way of checking out your presence in sort of online coding forums.
It's not because there's more men on there than women?
There are more men on there by women, but fourfold. But even so, the proportion of women should be selected should be 20%, and it's less than that.
So is it that the women just don't have the skills in Python or C++ or I don't even know the languages, whatever they're supposed to know, that women just aren't learning or trained in those areas?
That may be true, but for this study, it turns out that the women don't represent themselves as saying, I am very good at Java or I am very good at Python, whereas the men do. And the recruiters are actually using that that self-report of competence to help them choose.
So the women are too modest in their resumes.
Or the men are too much
braggy.
Yeah. But it seems to be working for them.
Wow, that's fascinating. I mean, there was a similar study about why women don't get promoted as well as men, even if they have the same skill set. And it's because women tend to not promote themselves as much, like literally say, I'm good at this and I think I deserve this or whatever. It's much more about communal ability. If you're a member of the team, you're a member of the team. So there might be a little bit of connection there.
Yeah. So rather than changing the women, because I sort of like their attitude.
We're pretty awesome. I'm just kidding.
All 51% of you. We probably need to sort of figure out better ways to capture a broader range of skills.
Well, and also talk to the people in the decision-making categories around promotion and recruitment and all that. I mean, it tends to be more men in this sector, right?
Yeah.
Particularly, I would say white men.
Yeah. Not for the study I was talking about, but yeah.
But yeah.
Okay, so Denise, we have teacher education at the Graduate School of Education. We prepare teachers, and for secondary school, we prepare them to teach math. And there'll be a separate course of instruction. We have English, secondary literacy, social studies secondary. So the question is, should we invest in preparing computer science? So should we start having a program that prepares teachers to teach computer science?
Just like we have the program that teaches them to teach English or teaches you to teach
math, or
teaches them to teach science. Well, there's a part of me, and maybe this is just my ignorance, that sounds a little narrow. I don't know. Is that
computers? Oh my God! You're in Silicon Valley. What did you just say?
Is that really bad that I said that? When I think about the teaching of English, there's certain pedagogy associated with teaching of English and literacy and literature, and there's certain pedagogy that we've studied for years that we can actually point to around the teaching of math. And maybe narrow isn't right, but do we have that knowledge yet?
Of how to teach
computer science.
Well, that's why you would start a program at a research university to figure out what's the best way to teach it.
Okay, so we would figure that out and then actually build it into our teacher training program.
Yeah, and then offer that as
all right.
On the other hand, you know, we train them up in computer science, and who's going to go into teaching when you can, ride the big wave?
Look at the salary difference between, okay, now I have been trained to be a high school computer science teacher versus I've been trained in computer science and I'm going to go into technology and make a lot more money. I think that would be a problem.
It would, unless you have a good soul. And then you go into teaching.
Yeah.
That's not to say that all programmers have bad souls. Sorry. Okay. So we are lucky to have Dr. Allison Scott, who's going to help us think through some of these issues. She's the chief research officer at the Kapor Center for Social Impact in Oakland, California. And she leads a research team aiming to enhance diversity in the tech industry. And she's really worked with her team on studies for interventions in education and in the workforce. So welcome. Allison, thank you for coming.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I think I've decided that I'm going to give you a survey.
Okay.
I'll help you out. Don't feel bad. He does this to me all the time.
And on this survey, I'm going to list reasons we should be teaching computer science. And a 5 means you really endorse that reason. And a 1 means, are you insane?
Okay.
Okay. So you understand? 5 is you really endorse it. So first one, we should teach computer science because it improves critical thinking.
I'm going to go with 5.
5. Denise?
Oh, I didn't know I was part of this
too. Okay. Number 2, we should teach computer science as an enabler of a diverse workforce.
5 as well.
I can give that a 5 too. No. Keep me out of it. Go ahead.
It's just when both of you go 5, my urge to argue with you really goes up.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. We should teach computer science as a means of expression.
3.
I don't even know what that means.
Digital humanities. You're learning to program like web pages is a new kind of literacy.
Okay. I'm with you.
Okay. 4, we should teach computer science because it's vocational training.
I'm going to say a 1 on that one.
1? Well, I think I'm going to throw in number 6. We should teach computer science as a way to make school fun.
5, all the way.
5.
5. Okay, wait. Can I just say 1 thing? Yes. Am I the bad guy here? I did not love computer science. It wasn't fun for me. I took it in college.
Right.
It was
like
not
said,
fun.
Like you said, we need to do research on how to teach it.
Programming
is pretty fun. You know, if you ignore the fact that I know how to program, that I'm surrounded by Twinkie wrappers and things like that.
No, see, this is my, can we just say this? And I want Allison to debunk this.
Okay, so Allison hasn't had a chance at all.
Wait, no, I'm going to let Allison in 1 second here. My image of a computer programmer is someone with a hoodie, someone hunched over, someone with earbuds in, not being social at all. And that's like so not me. That is not how I view myself. So, Allison.
And I think that's one of the biggest challenges and barriers to diversity in computer science and the technology industry as a whole. So there's a huge perception about who can be an effective computer programmer. Lots of stereotypes about what that person looks like, some of which you just described. And I think that really serves to prevent women and people of color from trying to enter into that area of a study. And I mean, they're definitely the fact that they don't identify with some of those descriptors that you just outlined, I think could be a huge challenge for them.
Yeah.
But that does sound like teaching computer science is vocational training. Where the argument is, we're going to teach these people this skill that will enable them to get a job in this lucrative industry, and they will help diversify it.
So I think that there's a really important distinction around the vocational training piece. We don't just want to teach computer science and computational thinking so that people get jobs. That is one purpose. But I think it's much more broad than that. And really, from my perspective, we should start teaching computer science and computational thinking as another form of literacy that as our economy more, becomes more and more dependent on technology across all of our sectors and all of our industries and everything we're going to need to do in the future, that computer science is going to be important no matter what field folks go into. So it's not necessarily a narrow track just into a technology job where you'll be programming, but the understanding and the knowledge and skills can be used really across all fields.
This is Schools In with Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope. We are speaking with Dr. Allison Scott, who is the Chief Research Officer at the Kapoor Center for Social Impact in Oakland, talking about the importance of teaching computer science to a whole bunch of kids.
So, you know, I left off number five, but now I'll give it, which is we teach computer science as a need for a citizen of a modern workforce.
As we were just saying, I think that's absolutely a five.
Yep.
But what does that mean? What do they need to know then? If it's not coding, or is it coding? I don't know. What would you say? What is it that they need to know for the modern workforce?
So I would say it's broader than coding. And what I think is really important, and the Computer Science Teachers Association has a lot of information on what the entire scope of knowledge that they need to know. And that's really mapped out from kindergarten all the way through 12th grade. So it's not just a narrow, type of programming or an algorithm or knowing how to code in a specific language, but it's a way of thinking about problem solving. It's a way of understanding how complex problems can be addressed. And I think beyond just programming, we're thinking about things like data science, artificial intelligence, cybersecurity, a whole host of fields and ways to that I think computational thinking will open students' minds up to opportunities.
So Denise, if you were going to remove something from the curriculum, you know, to make room for computer science, is this the only way to do it?
I mean, that's hard, right? You don't want to take away art. You don't want to take away health. You don't want to take away PE. You don't want to take away any of the core subject areas.
Home economics. Do we still teach that?
No, but we probably should, because everyone needs to know how to actually cook a meal and survive. My children, only one of my three basically really has that knowledge. No, just kidding. I'm just kidding. But I think that's the problem, right? As we grow, there's more and more that we feel kids need to know. And how do you make those tough choices?
And those are really hard decisions that we're having to make at the state level, at the district level, at the school level even. But I think to ignore where our society and our economy is going would also be a huge challenge. So it's a delicate balance of figuring out what's the right what is the right amount of each of those critical areas. We would not advocate removing anything like art or PE in favor of computer science. And I think that's where a lot of tension comes in for a lot of the educators that feel that pressure on a day-to-day basis.
But you have to make room for it.
So
this is Schools In with Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope. We are speaking with Dr. Allison Scott, Chief Research Officer at the Kapoor Center for Social Impact in Oakland, talking about the importance of finding room in the curriculum for teaching computer science and really computational thinking.
My group spends a lot of time trying to figure out what computational thinking is.
Yeah, what is it? How would you define that?
You mean computational thinking where I'm not actually using a computer? We haven't found one yet. Right? We found maybe one thing, but the only way you're going to get that is if you've done 4 to 5 programming courses. It's not the sort of thing you get lightly.
Okay,
I think you're looking at me like that. We have an expert.
Yeah. I want to know, what does Allison think? But do you agree with Dan's take that you need to take all these courses in order to get that the benefits of computational thinking?
For outside of the context of programming.
Okay.
So computational thinking, when I go grocery shopping, I don't think it shows up.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think that this is one of the areas that we really need to focus on as we are thinking of how to fit it into our curriculum, that there's been a lot of energy and momentum around exposure to, you know, let's try to expose kids to a hackathon or something to get them really juiced and excited about coding and computer science. But if there aren't a sequence of actual courses and opportunities to follow up on that, spark of interest, then you're not really teaching them computational thinking. So I think that's where you're going with that, Dan. But I would totally agree that we need to build out an entire sequence. And that's where a lot of our work and a lot of the stuff that we're talking about now in the field of computer science education is really how do we build that in from K all the way through 12th grade?
Yeah. So at one point there was a we have a partnership with San Francisco Unified School District where the school district sort of sets the agenda. And one kindergarten teacher wanted us to make a software for kindergartners to teach them the beginnings of computer programming. And we actually had an idea for how to do this. But
so, Allison, what does that look like? What would you teach a kindergartner in this scope?
So it sounds like you might be the expert on this, Dan. I'm going to kick this over to you.
Planning. You teach them to plan. That's sort of what a program is. It's a plan. So you make a little game that's kind of fun where they have to plan a series of actions that'll happen.
In order and sequence.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Very cool. I do think that a lot of people hear this notion of STEM, and it just occurred to me in our conversation, there's no C in STEM. And
yes, there is. E. E
okay.
is C.
Okay, wait. So STEM is science, technology, engineering.
That's the C.
Okay, so all right. Is engineering computer science? Is it one and the same?
It used to be math.
No, that's the M. That's fine, the M in STEM.
Fine. There are people who are defining something called STEM C. There are also people who are defining something called STEAM.
Yes, that has art in it. I know that.
Yes. The A is art. Yes.
Okay, so Allison, talk to us about this. STEM, where's the CS? How does that fit in?
I think people can tend to get a little caught up on the definitions. I think what's really important is that technology sometimes is a little bit too broad of a term. And I think what you guys just said is that really computer science goes through all of those things. So I kind of tend to like the STEM plus C, STEM plus computing, because computing goes through science, technology, engineering, and math.
Interesting. All right. And do you feel like everyone should be on a computer in school then, from kindergarten on up?
So I think...
No, that's really controversial. I'm asking that for real.
How about a cell phone?
Or an iPad or whatever.
Or a technology device.
Some kind of device. Thank you. Allison understood my point.
I think what's going to be a big challenge is that if we don't have equal access to tools and to Wi-Fi, you're already limiting which students can even pursue computing. So if all students in a district are going to have access to computers, whether it's in a classroom or in a computer lab, that's going to be really important for teaching computer science. But all students have to have that across the district, across the state, across the country, because we still see a huge gap, like the digital divide, which is just the lack of access to Wi-Fi or any sort of technology device at home. So that limits the amount of reinforcement that students can, they get exposed to something in a classroom or in a camp somewhere. But they have to have the opportunity to continue to practice.
Really important. This is Schools In with Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope. We will have more with Dr. Allison Scott talking about the importance of computer science in schools and equity next on SiriusXM Insight 121.
You're listening to Schools In with Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope from the campus of Stanford University.
Welcome back to Schools In with Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope. We are talking today with Dr. Allison Scott, who's the Chief Research Officer at the Kapoor Center for Social Impact in Oakland. We're talking about what she does there to help get computer science into schools and into communities that may not have this. So, Allison, why don't you tell us exactly what it is you do there? I know we kind of jumped in and started hitting you with all these questions. What is it that actually you're doing there?
I apologize.
Yeah, it's all Dan's fault.
No problem. So my work at the K4 Center is to conduct research that helps us understand what the gaps are in terms of access to computer science and what interventions are successful in increasing the number of women and students of color who take computer science courses and also go and pursue computer science majors and then enter into the workforce. We also do some research on the barriers that women and people of color face once they enter into the workforce. So barriers to entry and barriers to persistence and retention. And we just produced a study in April on the the lack of retention among women and people of color and what causes them to leave. Mm. So that's some of the work that we do. We also at Stanford University have one of our SMASH sites, which is the Summer Math and Science Honors Academy. For about 8 years now, we've been conducting research on the effectiveness of that summer program as an intervention to increasing the diversity of students of color in STEM. And about 4 years ago, we implemented a computer science sequence into that program. So we've learned a lot over the last 8 or so years about effective interventions. And what we're really working on now, and I'm super excited to share with you all, we're working on how to take those learnings and what we've understood as both the barriers and the effective interventions and trying to scale that statewide and hopefully nationwide.
So what works? I want to know. Can you share some of that with us?
So on the most basic level, access to a course is really important. I mentioned in the last segment, access to technology is hugely important. Access to role models is also a big deal. So access to peers that, you know, look like you, are studying the same courses as you, mm-hmm. Teachers who look like you, who you can relate to, and also just role models to understand what technology is and what can technology do, what fields can computer science open the doors to. I think those are things that we've learned have been really effective. And we've also seen that just by participating in the courses, so again, this goes back to the access piece, by participating in the courses, we've seen that the percentage of students going on to major in computer science multiplied by almost tenfold just since we implemented the computer science sequence. So we really think access is huge, but there are also other components that also matter, as I mentioned.
Wow. Really
so, impressive. So within the schools, so your hypothesis is you need to do this outside of the schools because it's too hard to get either the school system is too stiff or there's just not talent. There's not teachers who can teach it.
Our hypothesis is actually that we would love to see it in every school and we would love to see it in our public schools. Right now, we implemented it outside of the public school space because there were so many challenges in getting it integrated. I think we're in a much better place now. And so what we're working on with a new campaign called CS for California, we're working on getting computer science courses in every school in California by 2025. To do that, we're going to need things like teacher education programs. We're going to need policies at the state level. We're going to need funding. We're going to need parents to be engaged and to be pushing and advocating for computer science courses. So we very much believe that it should happen in the schools.
This is Schools In with Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope, and we are speaking with Dr. Allison Scott about how to get computer science in the schools, a very important topic.
So let's step outside of schools for a second. So Professor Bridget Barron here followed kids to see kind of how did they get in to the CS fields. And sort of in every case, it seemed as though there's a family member who could take on these different roles. They could be a broker, help introduce the kid to someone who knows. They could be a backer, right, and sort of support them. Where are the parents in this story of getting kids in to helping diversify the workforce in tech?
Yeah, parents are hugely important. The access that parents can provide in terms of engaging at the school level, I think, is huge. So working with principals, working with teachers, just advocating for computer science courses to happen in those schools. Also, as you said, working as brokers, trying to identify there are lots and lots and lots of computer science, coding, robotics programs out in the community, some of which are free, so not all of them are super expensive. So there are a lot of ways that parents can kind of just be searching for how to get their kids engaged in this topic and also advocating for more courses in schools so that not just their students, but all students can have access to this type of understanding and knowledge.
If you're coming from a background where you don't feel comfortable, you know, you're not a computer science person, you don't have that kind of background, as a parent, it might be scary. It might be something that you don't understand. It might be we like to help our kids with homework, and now they're coming home with something that we don't know how to do. What would you say to that parent?
I think there's some great tools that I've seen. At code.org has some really great engaging online activities. And I think that there's ways that students can pair up with their parents. And it's really interesting. I watched my nephew and my mom work on a coding game on code.org together. So it was really, she had no idea what this was, but he was also able to teach her. And I think that's a really interesting collaboration that can happen. So I think parents should not be concerned that they don't have this knowledge. I myself have never taken a computer science course, but I understand the importance of computer science. And I think that's what we want to convey.
So there is this, here's another bet on how to diversify the workforce through technology. And I see lots of one-year boot camps showing up. You know, maybe you didn't go to community college or you went for 2 years and you take this boot camp for a year, and maybe there's a partnership with a boot camp and a company. Can this work?
I absolutely think it could work.
Yeah.
I think what we don't know now is how effective those boot camps have been. But I think if companies were to take serious the need to diversify their workforce and understand what skills are needed at the entry level, they could build out those courses that I think could happen in a year. But currently, we don't have much information about how effective they are in actually placing talent into the workforce.
So it is interesting. I think industry always complains that colleges don't prepare students. What they mean is you didn't train them on how to write a print driver or something very, very specific.
Right.
But some companies internally, the needs for programming are changing so fast and the techniques, they're having to build out their professional development infrastructure.
Right.
And you know, you sort of hope, boy, if they get into that game, because they're taking ownership of it, they're not outsourcing it, they might actually be able to start providing things for people not in the company to help them.
Yes.
Help them learn the skills and things like that.
I think that's a very promising avenue.
Yeah.
And I think then we haven't solved the problem of, okay, but then they've got to convince people of color and women and people who you don't usually see doing this to go to the company and want to do that. I mean, I think that's why I'm excited by actually what you're thinking about, because you've got to get the excitement there when they're young to allow them to want to say, okay, I may not have that knowledge, but I'm excited to go learn and this company will train me.
Right. So pretty soon we're going to have advertisements with very sexy computer coding men and women at a swimming pool. And
oh, my goodness. I'd rather go with, let's get the kindergartner excited about CS and work that up to over the 12 years. So, yeah.
I think that the importance in thinking about how to solve the problem is that we look at it as a very complex problem. So it can't just be take one of the interventions. It has to be an entire, a comprehensive look. So it has to include K-12, it has to include higher ed, it has to include the transition from higher ed into the workforce, and then what are the companies doing themselves? As we know, there have been a lot of challenges lately with tech culture and driving folks away. So I think it's a large problem for us to work on.
Denise, that was computational thinking.
Ah.
You take a large problem and you cut it up and you try and abstract the categories and solve and work on each one.
Well,
so
done.
Even though I didn't take computer science, I know some computational thinking.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, you have been swimming in the water, I suspect, given your job. So
thank you so much for being here, Allison. And thank you for listening to Schools In with Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope. We're on the campus of Stanford University and on SiriusXM Insight 121.
From the campus of Stanford University, this has been Schools In with Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope.